The lords instead chose Viserys. My father. Jaehaerys called the Great Council to prevent a war being fought over his succession. For he knew the cold truth. The only thing that could tear down the House of the Dragon was itself.
Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of our podcast,
Central Perk.
On this episode, we'll be talking about House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones prequel. It came out, I think, a Sunday ago.
Yeah, it was on Sunday. So when you're listening to this, this will just be preparing you to go watch the first episode and then catch the next one. The next day,
for the people that have seen it, to be a refresher, you know, first thing next episode,
and also we'll be talking about what this episode was about, looking forward to what we expect from what we've seen, because this episode really sets up the whole season very well.
Basically, our first impression, sure, you know,
and future predictions for the ways the show can go. Yeah, I have a few thoughts on Alicent. For example, let's just get into it. So the show opens up with so let's reference it now before we forget.
The sound at the beginning of the episode, that was from, I think, was that, it the that, first thing? I don't think it was the first thing, but it was like the first 10 minutes in the episode, like it was part of the opening of the episode, and I feel that that's the dialogue or the monologue per se. It's like pivotal to the
epitomizes what this show is about, and it's perfect. Just listen to that, you understand how the show is going to go.
Exactly, because
that's how the episode itself goes.
That episode sets up the rest of the show, because it's just going to be another Game of Thrones, you know. But this time it's going to be restricted only to House Targaryen. You know,
everybody's going to take sides.
No, but like, it's, you know, Game of Thrones, it was different families fighting for the throne. Like, a lot of Baratheons, they had the claim to the throne. Targaryens, this one is only going to be Targaryens, just like infighting, like between themselves. They'll be trying to fight for who's going to. So, as they said,
the only thing that can bring down the House of the Dragon.
Exactly, it's the House of the Dragon itself. So, I mean, that would be.
The House of the Dragon is House Targaryen.
And you guys, I mean, prepare yourselves, like, big CGI fights with dragons coming up. It's going to be fun to see, you know.
Everything good about Game of Thrones just returns with this, with House of Dragons.
Bro, for real.
The amazing cinematography.
And guys, the soundtracks, like.
I love the soundtracks
from Game of Thrones. What's the name of that guy? Ramon Djawadi or something.
His name is complicated a bit,
but guy, I swear, the guy knows ball.
The guy also did, there's this show I watched about an AI, Person of Interest, that's a nice show.
It was the one.
I have it on my Spotify, like five of those songs, because I really like them. The guy is good.
The thing, in House of Dragon, they mixed up like a bit from Game of Thrones, I mean the soundtracks, they mixed. It wasn't like they didn't take the soundtracks like word for word or sound for sound. They mixed it up with like their own type of sound.
With the new House of Dragon
type of sound.
You'd be able to hear the strains of GOT.
When you're listening to it, that nostalgia will be streaming in, you know?
Definitely. The nostalgia will carry throughout season one alone. Even if you've never seen Game of Thrones, House of Dragon is a great show from what we've seen so far.
Wait, for people who haven't seen Game of Thrones, do you think they should, like, say you haven't seen Game of Thrones at all, do you think they should start like House of Dragon? I don't think it's really logical.
That is another discussion for another day. If we go into this, we'll just get drilled.
But sure, in the first episode, like we said, that was said about the House of the Dragon being the only one that can tear the House of the Dragon down. But basically, in the beginning, they
open up with with the young princess.
Yeah, Rhaenyra. I think she went dragon riding.
Yeah, she's flying. She's gone flying with her dragon. She's going. She's flying over King's Landing. Bro. You see a very, House of Dragon is dated to roughly 200 years before the events of Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you would see the same places, but sort of dated.
And when you guys watch it and you see the Iron Throne, they mixed it up a little bit.
It's sort of like the original Iron Throne.
Yeah, what's the Iron Throne next? Yeah. You know, and even they were always saying in Game of Thrones Gongo that the Iron Throne is forged from the swords.
It's forged from the swords of Aegon's enemies,
Like it wasn't in this one, it wasn't just the chair that had the swords, like They were swords, exactly.
Imagine they are coming to see the king, then you now see the swords of the all people that have challenged him before melted into the ground
as you approach the throne. You go bro, for real.
Any mistake,
I swear, they don't even need behind you, they will just drop you from one sword, bro. But actually, it was soft seeing it. At first, it didn't even cut me. I was King's Landing. You know, as pronounced like I thought it was Dragonstone, but it eventually kicked in that it was King's Landing.
The show opens up with showing us how Viserys, that's the reigning king, how he came to be the king. So the old king Jaehaerys, he knew that. The only thing that could have destroyed, we've said this like 3 times already, but it's really so central to the show that the only thing that could destroy House Targaryen was House Targaryen itself. So when he was already old and he was going on and he had no sons, so he asked the Great Council to choose a new
heir for him.
New heir. So it was to prevent people from fighting over the throne after his death. Like the Game of Thrones.
When the council came up, like, there were a lot of contenders for the throne, but there were only two main people that could vie for
Viserys and Rhaenys.
I forgot.
Yes, Rhaenys. Viserys and Rhaenys. Yes.
Like, all Rhaenys. The names are so complicated and sincere.
Two contenders in Viserys and Rhaenys, and Viserys was chosen because this brings to mind a quote from House of Dragon. It's not maybe the next episode, so I saw it in one of the trailers in which Rhaenys tells.
Rhaenyra's.
Yeah, Rhaenys tells Rhaenyra's, the young princess, you can get the names twisted, but if you just get used to it, it's pretty simple. But Rhaenys is the queen who never was. Actually, she's styled the queen who never was because
she lost to Viserys.
Yeah, she lost to Viserys. So, in one of the future episodes, we see in one of the trailers, we see Rhaenys telling Rhaenyra's that men rather burn down the realm than watch a woman sit on the Iron Throne. So iconic quotes. After this that's how this the show opens up, showing us how Viserys came to be king
of the Seven Kingdoms.
Then you just see a note come up showing that it's been 9 years into Viserys's reign, 172 years before Daenerys Targaryen. Anyway, so then
and then they showed his wife pregnant,
His wife is pregnant. We first see Rhaenyra flying over King's Landing with her dragon. Then she goes to see her mother, who is pregnant.
And at that point, like, Rhaenyra was still the only child of King Viserys,
so he had no clear heir.
Exactly.
So he's still looking for an heir, and obviously, it's, like we just said, they don't want a woman on the throne, so he's still looking for a male heir.
So he was very hopeful, like, with his wife being pregnant at all. I think she'd been pregnant before, but she lost so many children.
She told him that this was the last time. So everything was banking on this. They even had the heirs tournament where knights from all over the kingdom shall come and fight
to celebrate the birth of the child
that had not been born.
But during the fight, his wife went into labor, and luckily for him. She did give birth to a male.
Are we going to talk about the fact that the guy they gave him a choice, bro, that, actually, that pick, was, his, pick his wife or the child.
And
he knew that she had too many issues in giving birth.
Mm-hmm.
As there was a choice, I just felt that this was not going to work out.
Actually,
I knew he was going to pick the child because mm-hmm. he wanted him so
exactly. But at the same time, like,
well, obviously, it wasn't going to really work out. Anyway, but so Isha tried. He got his male heir.
But
although, as Aegon Targaryen, that's Viserys' brother. So since Viserys doesn't have a male heir, Aegon is the one that is next in line for the throne. But no, nobody really wants him.
You know, we just said that he got a male heir. We didn't tell him that the male.
Enter Aegon. So Aegon wants to be the king, obviously. And meanwhile, Viserys is still searching for his male heir, which he got. But unfortunately, the boy dies after a few hours or something. And like I said, enter Aegon. Aegon, who is busy celebrating after the death of his brother's son and his brother's wife. Aegon now goes to buy out one of the pleasure houses.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Little Hand? You remember Little Finger?
Bro.
Remember Little Finger from Baelish. Game of Thrones? Lord Baelish. That was his business. Those are most of the businesses that he owns, pleasure houses. So yeah, Aegon goes to buy out one of the pleasure houses for his guys. Aegon founds the gold cloaks. That's the
he commands the city watch.
He founds them now. The gold cloaks. You know, at the beginning of in House of Dragons, they are like that. That King's Landing is very lawless. Yeah, it's very lawless. That there's no officials and everything. So Aegon, they say it's there during one of the council meetings. During the, what's the name of that council? The
High Council. No.
Yeah. The small council. Yeah. Anyway, so the mention is there that Aegon has founded the gold cloaks. That's what he calls them, because they have a gold cloak attached to their dress. So yeah, he buys out one of the pleasure houses for his gold cloaks, and they're celebrating, having fun, and makes a toast,
bro,
to the heir for a day,
bro. That was that like that.
And that was the straw that broke the camel's
back.
It was
actually out of touch. Like,
that was no.
Like, you were not copying.
Because we've already said you that Viserys and Rhaenys, they were both contenders for the throne, and they didn't give it to Viserys.
Rhaenys.
Sorry, they didn't give it to Rhaenys, even though she was older, because they didn't want a woman. Mm-hmm. And Viserys too, he had never groomed his daughter for the throne. He never even considered it. He was always looking for his male heir. So if not for what Aegon did, that he went to go and buy out the pleasure house, went to go and toast to his son who just died, who was barely hours ago just died, now toasted to him that the heir for a day, and that was just the straw that broke the camel's back, and Viserys just lost it. He refused
to name like Aegon as his heir, and instead he went to speak with
Rhaenyra's, and yeah, that's the part where he now told her
of I think it was
Aegon the first, when they were at the Targaryens, when they left Valyria initially before they came to Westeros. So Aegon is like this, is like the mythical, the real conqueror who actually conquered Westeros and united everybody under House Targaryen's rule. So yeah, Aegon is like this mythical figure in Targaryen history. Aegon the First is like this mythical figure in Targaryen history. He's the one who conquered everywhere, and he usually had these dreams. So so one of his dreams was that eventually, that one day, a great darkness will rise out of the north. This would sound familiar for, you know, for people who are familiar with Game of Thrones. He predicted the coming of the Ice Walker, of the White Walkers. Yeah,
you know how they always called it the Long Nights in Game of Thrones.
The Long Nights. So he predicted the coming of the
Night. Technically, if his dreams came through and came to pass, they were more or less like premonitions, not like. And he talked about the dreams like something they used to pass down from king to king.
Every king would pass down to his heir. And that was when, you know, it was just done in Rhaenyra's
that she was going to name her as his successor.
So the guy just, he got all his lords together, he had them swear fealty
to him and to Rhaenyra,
as the future queen.
Of Westeros.
As the future queen of Westeros.
That's tough, because you know, obviously, in future episodes, we're going to see
this just perfectly sets up the conflict we have Aegon.
Yeah, between Rhaenyra and Aegon.
And Aegon, So, like you just said, at we introduced with only the house of Targaryen can destroy the house of Targaryen, and now we have Aegon and Rhaenyra pitted against each other.
Who are you rooting for?
Aegon is not a nice. He's not the person you can root for.
It seems like the villain.
Exactly, he's not the person you can root for. Actually. I find it difficult to see anyone that would originally, authentically, just want to root for Aegon. He's not painted in a good light. Like you just said, he just toasted a dead infant.
But look here, if you look at it, even if it doesn't seem so, it seems like he has more of a chance to win than she does. Because first of all, he has the gold cloaks. And the gold cloaks, they're like the military of the entire city. Now,
he just founded them, so they're new.
But see the damage that he did to the entire city, just in
one random unarmed citizens.
But even apart from that, even though all of those people swore fealty to her, they still the long-standing tradition of never having a woman as the person sitting on the Iron Throne.
Yes.
So there are still all those people that swore fealty. I mean. Having watched Game of Thrones, it is normal for all of them to break their oath.
The truth is that Viserys just did it out of anger. He was just reacting to being upset with his brother. Because if you actually wanted to do it, that okay, you want to place your daughter on the throne, the clean thing to do, the surgical thing to do,
is to marry them both.
No. Because he called Aegon, his brother, to the throne room to ask him if he actually toasted his dead infant that's as styling him as the heir for a day, and Aegon said that yes, that he did so. The clean thing to do would have been right there and then just behead my brother.
Wow.
Just behead the guy so that we know that's fine, there's no contention for the throne. But I guess that would have ruined, there would be no show.
Apart from the fact that would have been entirely ruthless. You know, it was his brother. And, like, you know, the entire council was against Aegon, like, being his heir. But he actually still loved his brother.
He actually really liked his brother.
He wasn't, like, at war with his brother or anything. He legit liked the guy. Because the council had been pushing, like, they just didn't like the guy at all. They didn't even want him to be on the council.
But the king managed
to get Aegon somehow on the council.
There's no manage. He basically just said that I am the king, he's my brother, he'll be on the council.
And even with getting Aegon on the council, Aegon wasn't content with that.
He wasn't even coming onto the council. He didn't come for council meetings or anything.
So the guys just starring
Aegon as the rogue and stuff like that. Sha.
He even mentioned that as the commander of the city was paid. Could tell him now. It wasn't okay with him. He wanted to be the hand of the king. He said, as his brother, he wanted to be. He's the type of person that even as the hand of the king, it wouldn't have been enough for him. Even if Viserys had like an actual heir that was a guy, see, as the hand of the king, if Viserys had died, I'm sure something would have happened to that child. Something should have happened to that child. He would not have lived long enough to become king of.
Okay, so. We've narrated most of the Aegon's dragon is really impressive.
His dragon is really impressive.
It's based on dragon, like a dragon versus dragon fight. If it comes down to that, it better not come down to that, because
the dragon
Rhaenyra should be gone.
The dragon reminded me of you know those firebending masters in Avatar.
The red one.
That was what his dragon reminded me of.
His dragon is really long and
actually.
Rhaenyra's zone is still like a young dragon, so like, let's hope it doesn't come down to a straight up fight. Cause
no, I'm guessing that the end. You know, just because that's a dragon, it doesn't mean that that's the only dragon in their possession.
Oh no, they said just now. They said that the Targaryens is at their height of power. I think they said they have 11 full dragons.
Come on, if she has one dragon, it means that her father definitely has a dragon.
Yeah.
So if something should happen to her father, and she could collect the dragon.
Yes.
So.
Well, you know, that's just the thing now. Fine, everybody has sworn loyalty to her, but you know, Game of Thrones, everybody's going to break. Everybody's going to pick whoever they want.
Game of Thrones is basically about betrayal. Like,
they do it like
it's just natural. It's just normal things. It's normal of those things. So yeah, this episode just perfectly sets the stage that we have pitted against Rhaenyra, and eventually. Oh, and yes,
what?
I don't know. The king, the sitting king, Viserys.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene in which the physicians are examining his back.
Oh yes, there was an injury.
Yeah, there was something. There was he had an infection, sha,
mm-hmm.
and he was just claiming that he was it wasn't healing. Perhaps that's you know, the clock is ticking.
Oh,
perhaps
yeah.
The king was going to die soon, so that the show can really kick off.
Him still being alive, there's still somebody on the island
too. Yeah, because for now, I think maybe for the rest of season one, I think he's still going to be alive. So they are just going to be continuing to just flesh out these current characters and everything like that.
Wait, you know the normal formula for Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
They introduce you to like a couple of characters. They make like some of them, or at least one of them, seem like the major character, and then you just kill that person off. Like, I'm just trying to. If they go with that formula,
really good characters, you know, the Starks were like
exactly
the unfortunate ones, but in Game of Thrones, but in
House of Dragon,
there is no good person. And like, I was listening to something that the author was saying, R. Martin.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was like that House of Dragon is a story about people who do some good things. And we'll do some despicable things. So basically, don't trust anybody. Don't trust anybody. Don't sleep on anybody. Anybody can do anything at any time. Like,
okay.
I'm actually so excited for this show, and you should be too, because it's really the first episode was really nice, and more importantly, it's really setting things up to be epic. I'm eagerly awaiting Sunday.
Actually, you know, I had a conversation with someone else, and they were like, they don't feel that House of Dragon will take off because of how they ended Game of Thrones. I mean, you know, it was very upsetting to talk.
Yes,
but you know me, I believe that. See, the people, they were able to give us like arguably like seven good seasons of Game of Thrones.
So the returns that
exactly,
always be an easy sell.
Yes, it's going to be very easy for them to like give us something equally good. And plus, they definitely learned from the mistake they made at the end of season 8.
They learned from their mistakes. I think R.R. Martin is more heavily involved with House of Dragon.
So it's very hard for them to mess this one up. And if they do, we'll boycott HBO.
I don't think they can really mess it up.
Actually,
it's really difficult to mess it up because they have a script in that they have the books. Mm-hmm. They have insane money to throw at it to make fantastic effects, beautiful to watch. So they have, I think I like the actors. They are really convincing.
Mm-hmm.
Aegon, you'd probably go to, I don't know whether you'd go to hate Aegon, but he's convincing in his role as somebody that you dislike as of this first episode.
You know, funny enough, I don't. Well, sure, maybe okay. Dislike is not as strong a word as hate.
Yeah, no, I don't hate him
actually.
I don't hate him, of course.
It's just that we've normally thought us like the protagonist and hate the antagonist, and it just seems like the antagonist.
Yeah,
right,
it's more
now,
like
so
the antagonist.
It's not like I really don't like him. It's just the antagonist. But, you know, I.
So yeah, you're not supposed to like him.
Exactly.
So that's just it for now.
Depending on further episodes, we'll get to form like a proper opinion about like the different characters.
As it is, like okay, yeah, even during the AS tournament, there was this commoner.
Sir Cole or something.
Yeah, so anyway, that guy, him and Daemon fought.
Yeah.
And the guy defeated Daemon.
Mm-hmm.
And Daemon like lashed out at the guy after. But
Daemon obviously is a,
so
is a very
what they're showing us of his character.
It's not very honorable.
They're not showing things that will endear it to him. And also, that Sir Cole, I'm getting the feeling that the guy is going to be like a potential love interest for her. So this is just going to be, everything's just really set up nicely. That's what I was saying. Literally, we never do an how would we even release a podcast about a show that only has
one episode.
We're just so excited about this, and we just had to do it.
And definitely, we're still going to at least one more episode on this particular show. Like
Probably at the end of the entire season. About House of Dragon until the end of season one.
But
so
definitely, there will be another episode, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's it.
I hope we've been able to give everybody a nice overview of the episode.
Yeah.
And yeah, and to tell you a little of what to expect. I never mentioned, I teased at the beginning that something about Alicent. So Alicent Hightower is the princess's
best friend.
Best friend. They're always together. And after the death of the king's wife and his child, her father, who is Otto Hightower, who is the king's hand, sends her to go and comfort the king.
Bro, that's lucky. That's low.
Like, that's really low.
He just sent his daughter.
Actually, Aegon was like that. He doesn't trust Otto, that he's sneaky and everything. If you look at it like this, he sent his daughter to the king
to seduce the king,
and basically sleep with him, which could work in his favor. That in case the king now, in case she gets pregnant, she now gives birth to a male child.
Yeah.
So
the child will have a claim to the throne.
Will have the strongest claim to the throne. Yeah. And that is a potential mad thing. Your best friend sleeping with your dad, when your mom just died.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I want it to happen or not.
It will feel the drama in TV show.
That's what we're here for. But yeah, it would be crazy.
Yeah. So
I hope we've been able to do justice to this episode. I hope if you're feeling excited about House of Dragon right now, then I think we've done a great job.
Yeah, we've done a great job.
So definitely make sure you watch House of Dragon episode 1 and catch episode 2 tomorrow. It promises to be epic as usual.
Yeah. And you guys, please tune in for future episodes of Central Perk. We really want to appreciate people that have been listening. I think in this past week we hit 200 listens.
Yeah, we crossed 200 listens. We have I've seen listeners all over the world. Nigeria is obviously our base.
Yeah, it makes like the bulk of the listens, but you know, guys, we're international. You know, we have people from Germany listening.
You see Canada, you have Brazil.
Shout out to all of you.
Shout out to everybody who's listening, showing us love. Really appreciate it.
Exactly. So, yeah, we really do.
Thank you, and we hope to catch you on the next one.
Okay, bye.